everyone. This is Jenny Abbas, intern at WCBE, and welcome to This Week in Science History. We'll talk about the birthdays of brilliant scientists, anniversaries of world-changing events in science, and discoveries that shaped entire fields of scientific study. This week, we have a family that included multiple generations of scientists, an artist in space, an inventor who made the most efficient engine of his time and later mysteriously disappeared, and more. March 18th, 1858, is the birthday of Rudolf Diesel, inventor of the diesel engine. The diesel engine is the most efficient engine due to its higher compression ratio and slower temperature rise, allowing the combustion to be converted to more mechanical work. First experimenting with ammonia steam engines, his first engine led to an explosion that nearly killed him. After a long recovery in the hospital, he was left with poor eyesight and health problems for the rest of his life. His diesel engine was actually run on peanut oil, though the popular fuel that became known as diesel fuel was an oil byproduct of petroleum refinement. Diesel was last seen alive boarding a train to London from Antwerp in 1913. 10 days later, his body was found in the North Sea near Norway. His death was ultimately ruled suicide as financial trouble was revealed, though many military and business entities may have had motives for his murder. Evidence is sparse for all explanations. March 19th, 1900 is the birthday of Frederick Juliet Curie, husband of Irene Curie, who is the daughter of famed Marie and Pierre Curie. He is a physicist who shares the 1935 Nobel Prize in Chemistry with his wife Irene for the synthesis of artificial isotopes. Exposing elements to alpha radiation, they found isotopes of elements that were not normally radioactive. Their children, Helen and Pierre, also became esteemed scientists, making 3 generations of scientists. March 21st, 1932 is the birthday of Walter Gilbert, who shares the 1980 Nobel Prize in Chemistry with Frederick Sanger for the invention of a method to determine the sequence of a nucleic acid. Determined in 1977, the method was used for 25 years to sequence DNA and RNA. The method uses polymerase enzymes found in nature that copy DNA. They do this by running along a template strand of DNA and adding the complementary bases, A with T and C with G. In order for the enzyme to work, it must have a supply of these nucleotide bases. Sanger sequencing adds these bases, enzymes, and a template strand along with modified bases that can only be added to DNA on one side. Imagine DNA as a train and DNA polymerase as an engineer coupling the next cars, and the modified bases are cabooses that end the train. These cabooses will get added randomly by a polymerase. This gives us a molecule of a detectable length with a labeled caboose on the end and tells us exactly which base is supposed to go at the end. In a test tube with millions of DNA strands and millions of polymerases, these truncated trains are made by the thousands of varying lengths. In this way, we can figure out the sequence of DNA with extreme accuracy. Though it has been replaced by many automated systems, Sanger sequencing is still widely used today for smaller scale projects or long continuous sequencing. March 23rd, 1837 is the birthday of Richard Anthony Proctor. Proctor was an astronomer and the first to create a detailed map of Mars. He was also the first to suggest that the craters on the moon were not the result of volcanic activity, as was widely believed, but by meteor impacts. His greatest contribution, in my humble opinion, however, is that he made astronomy accessible to the public by writing in a casual, popular style and generated a lot of public interest in astronomical study. Anniversaries this week are out of this world. Okay, bad pun, but they're all in space. March 17th, 1958 was the launch of NASA's Vanguard 1 satellite. It was the United States' second satellite and the first one to be solar powered. Communication was lost in 1964, it still orbits the Earth as the oldest man-made object in space. March 18, 1965 is the anniversary of the first extravehicular activity, or spacewalk, outside a spaceship. Soviet cosmonaut Alexei Leonov exited his spacecraft on the Voskhod 2 in orbit of Earth. The walk lasted 12 minutes and 9 seconds, during which he was connected to the ship with a 5-meter tether. By the end of the walk, his suit had inflated in the vacuum of space, so much that he was unable to re-enter the ship. He had to open a valve to release some of the pressure and barely made it back inside. Leonov is also known for his works of art. Taking colored pencils into space, he sketched the moon, Earth, as well as American astronauts who he traveled with in the Apollo-Soyuz test projects. His painting, Near the Moon, was almost exactly replicated in the film 2010, A Space Odyssey, in the alignment of the moon, Earth, and the sun. March 23rd, 2001, is the anniversary of the end of the Mir space station. After 15 years in orbit, it was given the command to deorbit and re-enter Earth's atmosphere, breaking up over the southern Pacific. Mir was the first permanent space station and was manned for 10 years. It also hosted the very first tourist to space.
The remains of Mir streaked across the South Pacific sky, exactly as Russian mission controllers had predicted. Seen from Fiji, the station was a string of fireballs, after most of it burned up in Earth's atmosphere. Moments later, the fragments splashed down into a remote section of the Pacific, known to space experts as the graveyard.
Thanks for listening, and check back next week for more science history.